Bernard to Montreal. Preparatory communication number 76. Man's occult principles. The exploration or further study of man leads us to observe that he is constructed or the product of the arrangement of a certain number of principles or active and dynamic forces that compose and decompose him, according to the stage of his experience. Man in general conceives himself according to the materiality of his total organization. So he has the natural impression of being what he is experiencing at the moment, when he is sensory conscious in the world of matter. But this perception of himself is only a partial event in the whole range of possible events that he can experience as a being. As long as man perceives himself according to the integrated and material organization of his principles, the spiral of his principles, due to their perfection, takes away from him the possibility of realizing himself otherwise as a being. Therefore, he is limited in his appreciation of life. That is, he can only live it according to this coordination of occult principles unveiled to his sensory consciousness. At night, while he is asleep and dreaming, the reminder of his dream makes him realize imperfectly that another state of being exists, where he can exercise his right to life. But this state is too symbolic and too far from the laws of matter for him to appreciate its real meaning. So already, this state of being is secondary to him and does not make the real value of another state of life accessible to him. So man lives only according to his senses. As soon as his senses cease their activities, he loses the conscious notion of his life, and he cannot psychologically benefit from other experiences that could prove to be even more real than the one brought to him by contact with solid matter. It is from this point in his experience that it is good to explain to him the other possibilities of experiences that are part of his life and total consciousness. Consciousness is a relationship between matter and the immaterial. The more this consciousness is founded on the material, on the senses, the more limited life is, because the more the being is lived according to the power of the senses. As soon as man begins to explore the free domains of the ether, he realizes that his material senses are linked to senses, or to organs of immaterial perception that are part of the organization of his consciousness on another plane of matter, a plane that we can call ether or subtle material. The subtle material is a plane where matter, instead of conforming to the physical laws of the solid, liquid or gas, conforms to the laws of the etheric fluid, that is, the laws of energy of form. Form does not need to be qualified according to material laws to maintain its reality, It may very well exist according to other laws that are part of parallel worlds or universes. The purpose of the human senses is to protect them within the laws of matter. And because of this protection, man loses contact with other planes, other worlds, where other laws serve other functions. It is from the consciousness of these planes that man discovers that the reality of the ether is not subject to the domination of the senses, but rather to the extrasensory power of the universal double. And this extrasensory power of the double is the expression of the continuity of the link between the etheric double and the energetic subplanes of the solid, liquid or gaseous matter. If the life of a higher consciousness comes into contact with, or strikes against, a lower consciousness of life or life organization, we discover the phenomenon of sensoriality. In other words, if we take away from man his senses of the solid, liquid or gas, his consciousness rises and is thereby placed on another plane of reality. For life is eternal and endless. It must express itself somewhere in the cosmos if it is removed from any plane. Therefore, the termination of human consciousness is not possible, because the life of consciousness must then be located on other planes where it continues its expression. But if sensorial consciousness withdraws in man, and he has not built an etheric vehicle to allow him to continue his life in consciousness on another plane, he is obliged, forced, to continue his life between two planes, between two worlds, between the world of matter and the world of the ether. This world is called the world of death or the astral plane. What is wonderful about this astral plane, in its function, is that it allows conscious man, as well as unconscious or dead man, to have access to it. The conscious man by the dream, and the dead man by the withdrawal of his astral body and his return to a plane whose density is the same. But the problem with the return of human consciousness to this plane arises from the fact that man is composed in its totality of principles other than the astral principle. And that these principles are higher in vibration than the latter. Therefore, the highest stages of his consciousness are no longer accessible to him because he is extremely impoverished in his entirety, in his being. While he was in the matter, he could benefit from the activity of all his integrated principles, even if he was not able to live all aspects of them consciously. But as soon as he dies, he finds, or lives, only by the astral principle. Without this principle, he could not be considered as a man, because he would not have in him the power of evolution linked to the experience of his accumulated memory. He would live once and that would be the end of his future experience. He could not one day in the future, on one planet or another, awaken to a total and perfect consciousness. Man would not be man. He would only be a complex biological being but without destiny. A bit like the animal. The animal dies and it is over for him as a personal evolutionary consciousness. Because the animal has no personality. It only has a semblance of personality. Of characteristics. But these characteristics do not come from a higher consciousness. They come only from the continuity between the genetic mechanics of the material body and the subtle bodies that have not totally evolved at the level of what we call spirit. The animal has no spirit, so it cannot have anyone in it. So, since man has not yet built a bridge between matter and the planes of the ether, he is forced to withdraw into an astral consciousness after death. With evolution, a new stage will be conquered by man. His mind, for the first time, will want to build a bridge between matter and ether, and this bridge will be built by the transmutation of astral matter into him. This will create for the first time on Earth a real double, instead of a physical double. Man today possesses a physical double, that is, an etheric counterpart of his material form. But this double is not luminous. It is only a vital material. As it is not luminous, the spirit does not inhabit it, and when man dies, the spirit is forced to withdraw on the planes of light. And the double vital material disintegrates and returns to the undifferentiated energy. Now that man is entering a new evolution, and the spirit explains to him the laws of the evolution of his subtle bodies, he can begin to transmute his energy, or his astral matter, so that the vital double material becomes a luminous double. A double inhabited by the spirit of man. A real double. For the double to be luminous, the spirit must inhabit it, because the spirit is luminous. But for the spirit to inhabit it, certain materials must be transmuted in order to allow an openness to the spirit in this double. For the latter to be made habitable by the spirit, its light must penetrate it. And it cannot penetrate it if the astral, or this lower layer of energy, is not transmuted or elevated into vibration, because the spirit must be fused to the etheric double. And for it to be, the negative astral must be eliminated, because the negative astral is the energy that nourishes the lower senses of man. And it is these energies that block the passage or entry of a light in the double. Because as we realize, the senses are very powerful in man and their power creates an envelope around the double. And this envelope is impenetrable by the spirit, for it is under the control of forces that belong to darkness, that is, to those spaces in the invisible planes that govern all that is equal to or inferior to them. The invisible planes, for multiple reasons that we will study in the future, are zones of influence. And these zones correspond to laws set by nature, i.e., set by high evolutionary intelligences. And it is these intelligences that maintain the order of things in the universe. Therefore, if the spirit of man must penetrate the human double to make it luminous, it is necessary that the spirit can explain to man the laws of this penetration, a spirit which, already, because of its evolution, is no longer subject to the laws of the astral world and which knows all its secrets. When we say that the mind is light, we mean that apart from the astral or inferior planes, everything is light. So the mind is light because it is part of these planes. And everything that results from its reality must subjugate the zones of inferior influences to make the ethereal vital matter luminous, in order to prepare for the coming of the Superman, or the complete being. But the spirit of man has a penetrating power only according to the astral memory that underlies the ego. If this memory is too strong, the ego, the man, cannot undergo the penetration shocks caused by the spirit, and the latter will have to wait until later in order not to destroy the human being emotionally or mentally. If, on the other hand, the being is sufficiently evolved in the soul, in the memory, his experience will make him feel the spirit or the value of the spirit, because the more the soul is evolved, the more the memory is refined, therefore the more the astral matter is high in vibration. That is why the evolution of the soul is important, because the more advanced the soul or memory is, the more refined its matter is, and the more refined it is, the more the spirit can penetrate it, because its vibration is getting closer and closer to that of the matter of the spirit. The matter or light of the spirit has no shadows. And that is why it is so difficult for the mind to penetrate the double ethero-vital of man, because it is surrounded by low astral vibrations. The phenomenon of shading and its absence is of extreme importance on the subtle planes, because it is a phenomenon of light or absence of light. It is often said that the light illuminates in darkness, This is true on the material level. Because on this level the light is material and it is its absence that creates darkness. But in the case of subtle planes, there are lights or energies of different vibrations, and when the light of the spirit is mixed with a lower light, the one of the spirit cannot penetrate. Because it is no longer a phenomenon of the light, whose presence illuminates a space from which it has withdrawn, but a phenomenon of a light in contact with another. This is why the astral light must be elevated in vibration, hence the transmutation of the astral body. Man begins to understand life when he begins to live from the penetration of the spirit into the double. Otherwise, the mind is obliged to exercise its creative power through the lower mental plane. And this condition is not sufficient for man, because thoughts are so burdened by the low vibrations of the astral body that they become subjective. And if man lives his mental life subjectively, he cannot benefit from the creative power of his mind within the double. So he is obliged to use his memory to give himself mental awareness. And since this memory is linked to the experience of the soul, he can never fully understand the laws of his life. It is then impossible for him to be happy in spirit. He can only be happy in astral consciousness. And this happiness is subject to ups and downs, because the events of his life are not under the control of his spirit, but of his soul. And then, he cannot perfectly control his life, his destiny, because his karmic intelligence is not enough. He needs a free intelligence, which is the product of the penetration of the mind into the double. The luminous double, once formed, coincides with everything that man may desire. For he is then the new man within the material man. And then the astralized man no longer has the illusion of being only material in his consciousness. He becomes aware of himself on another plane. And he can begin to be happy on any plane whatsoever. Because he is no longer abstract in his consciousness. It has become concrete by the fact that the light of its spirit is present in its etheric counterpart. He remembers everything instantly, because he is the product of a totality. Previously, he only remembered the material of astral experience. Now he remembers at another level. Hence his increased power of knowledge that we call knowledge. Being able to remember everything, that is, being able to be creative, because the mind becomes his intelligence, he no longer feels outside himself, he feels within himself, he feels himself. but this himself is personal. That is, it is the product of the link between the double and the mind. Man no longer has to feel alone with life. He is well within, both feet fixed in a total consciousness. He no longer has to look for anything, because everything is there in him. The double is very important because it is he who executes the mind. And when the spirit has penetrated the double, the latter becomes the new man. As long as this stage is not reached, man has the impression of being something or someone. But in fact, he is nobody. Because for him to be someone, an identity, his entity must have a connection with the double. Otherwise he is only a foreign being with himself, which is at the basis of his personal research. That is why it is so important that the human double be made luminous, that it be inhabited by the energy of the spirit, what we call fusion. Fusion is not, according to some writings, the relationship between the thought adjuster and the soul. This explanation is only a philosophical explanation that is born of astral science, rather than mental science. When man understands or will be in mental science, he will see further than the other, and thus will be able to better understand the human phenomenon, because he will already be a total man. To fully and perfectly understand the human phenomenon, one must be total. Without one's human consciousness, this goes without saying. It is not through the astral ways that man will understand the human phenomenon, since these ways are not those of the spirit, but of disembodied entities or souls that are in the process of evolution. These most advanced entities can inform man about certain aspects of his evolution. But this information is always subject to their own limitations. So only the man whose spirit is in the double, and whose double is luminous, can see through the information given to humanity through the astral ways. For he is no longer subject to the shadows of these paths, since there are no shadows in his mind. It is the shadows in human consciousness that has always prevented man from knowing for himself. This is why religions and mystical or cosmogenesis philosophies have been a great psychological support for the human being. But one day, man will enter into mental science, which is the product of the penetration of his mind into the double vital material. Man must understand how he is composed, not only in a philosophical way, but in totality, because philosophy always remains an astral path. Everything in the universe is well ordered and understandable, and this understanding is within the realm of mental science. That is, the creative power of the mind through the executive power of the double, for the benefit of man. As long as man is powerless to use his double, he will not be able to experimentally understand the structures of life in the invisible as explained to him by the Spirit. So he will be obliged to understand according to the Spirit, without being able to understand according to the meanings of the double. In other words, he will not see what he knows. But one day, when the transmutation of the astral body is over, he will be free to use his double luminous rendering, just as today he uses his physical body on the dense material plane. Until man has been so transformed into consciousness, he must realize that the universal order goes beyond his philosophical conceptions, and that this order is part of his power of life. That is, that he must one day come to participate consciously in it. The mind is light. Therefore, the mind is intelligence. The luminous double becomes will. For the human being to know the three great principles of life, intelligence, will and love, he must be elevated in vibratory consciousness. He must be fully aware of his mind, his double and his body, at the same time. Reconstructed as it should be, it can be what it has never been, a cosmic being. A being in perfect balance with visible nature and invisible nature. As long as there is shade in human consciousness that translates into a kind of inability to be perfectly happy, the mind is not fully integrated into the double. It is this lack of integration that forces man to seek the subjective happiness that the astral offers him. Unfortunately for him, he quickly realized that this happiness was not total, because it did not come from the balance of all his principles, all his energies. So he can be happy and unhappy. He can never be perfectly happy all the time. For to be without suffering, the double must be alive. It must be luminous, and this requires the transmutation of the energies of the astral memory. But when man begins to understand the order in which he is organized, his astral substance changes, because it is obliged to absorb certain energies of high vibration, which already serve as material or transmutational force. The astral shadow gradually degrades, and man begins to live moments, at first very short, when he is free of this shadow. But soon the shadow is felt again, because everything in him is not light. It is enough for an event to occur in his life for him to still be trapped by this shadow of the astral. And this lasts for a while because man cannot be without shade instantly, unless he undergoes instant fusion. So it appears to him that the real consciousness is far away, when in fact it is close to him, because already his double becomes luminous. The process is started. All he has to do is wait for the mind's work to end. But knowing that this work is being done allows him to measure it consciously and gradually. And it is here that he begins to feel that he is changing. Therefore, that he becomes more conscious. Therefore, that he becomes more luminous in his double. Therefore, that the immortality of his consciousness is only a factor of time and not of spiritual desire. We have talked so much about the soul in the past that we have lost the notion of the mind and the double. Man has been excluded in his search. But already it has been used to make the energy or astral matter more subtle so that fusion can take place within him. The human being is multidimensional, in the sense that he can realize, when his double is luminous, that the corridors of the astral are paths reserved for those who cannot survive the terrible conditions of a planet that must be elevated in his global consciousness. The corridors of the astral are controlled by beings who do not, in their function, belong to the world of the light of the spirit, but who belong to the astral world of darkness. And man, without a luminous double, has no choice but to find himself one day in these worlds, in these corridors where the law is governed by intelligences that are the result of domination among the world of spheres, globes. The transmuted human being cannot be subjected to these intelligences, because he is free from their influence since he is not governed by anyone, by any intelligence other than himself. So, he knows exactly where he stands with these worlds. He can visit them if he wishes. But he cannot obey their command or domination, he is free. Subjective astral memory is no longer an obstacle to his vision because his mind is light. So his behavior in these corridors, in these spheres, on these planes, is always according to himself and not according to any intelligence. It is necessary to understand the difference between an intelligence and the mind of man. An intelligence is always an entity that uses its memory to dominate it, while the spirit of man is man himself, on a plane or in a world of light that has no shadow. That is why the intelligence of the spirit man is a pure intelligence and not an astral intelligence or a planetary intelligence. As long as man is not total, as long as he does not have a double luminous, he cannot realize that everything begins and ends with him, that everything begins and ends with him. I repeat. He always feels like everything starts somewhere and ends somewhere above and below him. In other words, he has no solar consciousness. He has planetary consciousness. And this planetary consciousness makes him a slave to the conditions that exist in time. Now, this is an astral illusion. And it is this illusion that makes beings who die and return to the astral, or the world of death, feel lost because they are prisoners of time. Just as the unconscious man is prisoners of space. And even if they do not feel lost in the sense that they can live it, when they leave their material body, they always feel, until they experience fusion, that they are in the process of change, evolution, transformation, and search towards infinity, towards light. And this is their suffering. Then it is important that man understands the order of things, that is, the order of himself. For if he understands the order of himself, he will understand the order of things. For everything in life must be according to what he really understands, and not according to what he astrally desires to understand. The culmination of the process of mutation in man will make him realize that he is present beyond his matter, and that he can become aware of this presence when the double is sufficiently advanced in its link with the mind, or the autonomous intelligence of being. The mind being the autonomous intelligence of being, the more it is connected with the double, the more the ego, the man, can be realized. Its realization suits his mind and can no longer be under the control of the soul, memory, karmic intelligence. Life then becomes totally present and continuous. So that when the moment comes when the double and the mind separate from the material body, the being is not jostled in his extrasensory experience, because the support of the senses given to him by the astral body has been transferred to the double. And it is from this transfer that he can know the difference between material reality, astral reality and etheric reality, because he no longer has a memory. The astral memory blurs the etheric vision of man, because its vibration is of an order that does not suit the mind but only the ego. This is why the ego cannot know the ether and the secrets of matter as long as it no longer needs support from its subjective and astral memory. Thus the mutation propels man towards a peak of realization that does not derive from egoistic desire, but from the power of penetration of his autonomous intelligence, or mind, within the vital form of being, or the double. The human being has many secrets, because he is greater than his material life suggests. But he can only know himself according to the connection of the double and his mind. Nothing exists on the material level that cannot be perfectly understood by human beings. What is hurting his life is the powerlessness of his karmic intelligence. And karmic intelligence is based on the relationship between his astral body and his ego, while his free intelligence is based on the relationship between his mind and his double. That is why he no longer needs subjective memory to live and create. When the link between the double and the spirit is consumed, he is free in spirit from the material body, from the material space, and can begin to work according to his creative destiny. The earth will be reconquered by man. It will be given back the radiance due to it, because the terrestrial globe is part of a planetary hierarchy that was divided when man lost contact with light. The human double then simply became a support of material life, and man sank into total unconsciousness and recovered only a little astral consciousness during sleep. But the astral consciousness of man could never give him back the vision of his origins perfectly, and man had to live his material life according to the power of influence imposed on him by the plane of these intelligences, which had also lost contact with these worlds of light, to find themselves on the planes of the astral after death. Man was then told a myriad of grotesque stories, his mythology, which only showed him the power of these astral forces over him, while he, poor ignorant, had to believe it as one of those fables that emanated from the gods, and whose history or legend made him recognize a lost paradise. Man has never lost anything. He was too ignorant to lose anything, and the astral forces or intelligences knew it too well. That is why he was implanted in his mind the concept of original sin, so that his guilt was sufficient reason to live off his ignorance, and then maintain astral power over his egoistic consciousness. The mutation will change the status of man, and his autonomous intelligence living in his luminous double will make him a real and victorious being against the astral and its fables. As long as the human being has not reconstituted his being according to his spirit, his double rendered luminous and his conscious ego, he will be obliged to live, without realizing it, a myriad of conceptions aiming to force him into ignorance, and aiming to maintain him in this ignorance. For the astral world, the world of more or less evolved intelligent entities, is a world that already controls the unconscious destiny of humanity. And these intelligences do not want to lose control of man, because man serves them. And as long as man has not understood that he cannot be free, that is to say, self-sufficient in his intelligence, incapable of being fed by other forms of knowledge than that which comes from him, from himself. He will be a poor being because he will never have the prerogative to know the ins and outs of involution and evolution. He will always be a disciple of someone or some condition. He will always be a slave to someone or some other condition. It will never be cosmic, that is, autonomous, that is, perfected in mind, astral, vital and physical. So he can never understand the mysteries of life, he can never understand himself, and he can never be perfectly happy, and man must be perfectly happy. And to be perfectly happy, it is necessary that his ego, his luminous double, his mind, that is to say, his identity, can make a total and perfect unity. And from this point in evolution, man will no longer look back. And neither mythologies, nor the antiquities of involution and its knowledge, will have any appeal on him. For man will know too much, will see too far into the future, and will see too far how the past was built, without him knowing, by intelligences on other planes, who used humanity for the construction in their world of conditions aimed at recovering man, the mortal, when after the split, the separation of the principles of life, he had to, because of his memory, find himself on planes in lower spiritual or higher spiritual living conditions, but nevertheless living conditions outside the worlds of light. That is, worlds that are absolutely free of time and space. Man must recover his sight, and this sight can only be given to him through suffering. That is, by the result, or product, of the penetration of the energy of the mind into the double, and the psychological recomposition of its being by virtue of which the double has power over the ego.